Jones, St. Helena, California, October 19, 1901. Dear Brother Jones, I am encouraged to think that decided changes will take place at the sanitarium. We were talking about the third meal being unnecessary. Last night, instruction was given me that this is a critical period for all connected with the sanitarium, and that it will be a mistake to make abrupt moves just now. We must remember how long matters have been drifting in a shiftless way. The idea has been followed that all those in positions of responsibility can do is to lay matters before the helpers, doing nothing further to lead them to maintain right principles. I have met this in the course followed at the sanitarium. But I told Dr. Sanderson that little is accomplished by making the rules that should control in such an institution unless a careful stewardship is exercised to see that these rules are faithfully carried out. With regard to the diet question, this matter must be handled with such wisdom that no overbearing will appear. It should be shown that to eat two meals is far better for the health than to eat three. But there must be no authoritative forcing seen. No one connected with the sanitarium should be compelled to adopt the two-meal system. Persuasion is more appropriate than force. Let nothing in your words or actions show that you wish to force or rule or control. Just present principles. Keep the sharp vim out of your voice. Present the diet question from a common sense standpoint. Show the importance of properly caring for the living machinery God has created, that it may be kept in the best working order. It is a great pity that the physician in his lectures has not been instructing his patients in regard to the necessity of proper diet. Overeating and eating many kinds of food at one meal greatly injures the digestive organs. When more food is placed in the stomach than it can well dispose of, flatulence and distension are the result. The physician should explain the effects of wrong eating on the digestive organs. He should carefully trace out the result, reasoning from cause to effect. This may be done without unduly pressing or forcing the matter. The days are now growing shorter, and it will be a good time to present this matter. As the days shorten, let dinner be a little later, and then the third meal will not be felt necessary. The diet question should receive careful consideration. Suffering and disease are to be avoided, and parents should exercise judgment for their children, not allowing them to eat a variety of food at one meal. If fruit is eaten, it may be best not to eat vegetables, for fruit and vegetables often quarrel in the stomach. Parents must exercise good sense in selecting the child's diet, else it will form habits that will lay the foundation for invalidism. The food provided should be scrupulously simple. Pastry and other desserts make havoc in the stomach, and these might better be discarded. The food should be palatable and nutritious, and we do not recommend the disuse of salt or milk. Let the whole being, body, soul, and spirit be surrendered to the Lord. His law is perfect, converting the soul. Unless the teacher of truth is converted, transformed in character, he will speak rashly, virtually swearing if he is crossed, and all his righteousness is in vain. God forbid that we should be charged with lowering the standard of ministerial qualifications, giving the impression that a man can be a minister of Jesus Christ and at the same time walk apart from him. Let the tenderness and love of Jesus characterize all your labors. Do not reveal a masterly spirit, as if seeking to drive matters. Christ does not say, "My sheep see and feel my whip and go before me." He says, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me." John 10, verse 27. Come close to hearts in simplicity and tender interest. Win the confidence of all for whom you labor. Lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Hebrews 12, verse 12 to 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hebrews 4, verse 14 to 16. In the work at the sanitarium, you have to meet persons of all classes and nationalities. You will have some very stubborn men with whom to deal. Do not speak in an authoritative manner, but in love and tenderness. They will not bear to be spoken to in a masterly way. Every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way? For that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. Hebrews 5, verse 1, 2. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified. 1 Peter 4, verse 8, 11. Tuesday. I wrote this after the meeting on Sabbath. Yesterday and the day before, I could do scarcely any writing. I want much to see you, and hope I shall as soon as you feel like coming.